right, guys, big episode of the Hardys podcast. The Wolves get it done and eliminate the former champions. Carl Anthony Towns legacy game, and we put the Premier League season to rest. Here we go. I'm Eric. I'm here with Jim. How you doing?
Well, you know how I'm doing.
It's great. I don't think we could feel much better than this.
Oh, I'm kind of in disbelief. So there is that aspect to it, but mostly just a lot of positivity.
I mean, in our time doing this podcast, would you say that this is probably tied for this best event that we've covered in sports?
Well, we got
Minneapolis Miracle and this.
This feels more miraculous for a Wolves team to even do a normal-ish thing, which is like make it to the final four teams.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so unbelievable. For me, maybe this is a little bit better because it...
But both of them got us into the final four.
Right.
I'm just saying, like, on the scale of sports things that have happened in our time doing this show, it's probably one of the two biggest things in Minnesota sports that we've covered.
And here we are.
We don't get these moments too often, so we have to cherish these moments when we have them.
Revel in it.
Well, before we get started, we need you guys to give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram at Nordy's Podcast and subscribe anywhere that you guys get your favorite podcast from and get the Nordy's Podcast directly to your phone or your device each and every week for free.
Hey, thanks for doing that. Thanks for, you know, if you've listened for a long time and here you are still listening, we appreciate you. Let's enjoy this together. Let's do it. We got Wolves, and that's A topic and B topic.
All right. What are we drinking here?
All right, a couple different bevvies out. Yeah, I had some friends in from Wisconsin, so they brought some new Glarus, of course. But we also got a weird one here called, this is from Raised Grain.
Okay.
The Naked Threesome.
It's good.
Great name, right?
Yeah.
You into that?
I am.
Oh, I didn't know that. No, but it's a very good beer. IPA, tasty. Tastes like orange juice a little bit.
Yeah.
It's good.
And then what else do we got?
Oh, then we got, we got to have two bevvies at this point. Yeah. So we got Cheech and Chong, baby.
This is like every Instagram ad.
I know, right? I know. They're pushing this shit everywhere, but you must have found it somewhere. And yeah, this is their non-alcoholic THC seltzer. Just a nice 5 millis.
Yeah.
That's doable.
Yeah.
You know. And plus... we'll knock this pot out, and if we're a little looped for the second one, you know, whatever. this is the moneymaker tonight.
All right, so here we go. Before we dive into some Wolves content, a couple things. First off, we had the Vikings schedule drop.
Okay.
And they're saying it's one of the hardest in the league.
Yeah.
But
great.
I don't know.
They say that.
They say that every year, it feels like.
You don't really know until you get there. You know, like, by week five, the landscape looks so different.
Yeah.
It seems that you thought were going to stink are really good and scary, and vice versa.
There is great parity in the NFL. Better than in any other league.
Because you also think your team might stink, and then they could be really good.
So we'll go through some highlights here, or at least go quickly through these games. They start the year at New York.
Okay.
Heads up, we are underdogs in 14 of the 17 games, according to Vegas.
Well, all right. But, I mean, I guess we don't really have a QB right now.
Vegas also has us at 6.5 wins.
Okay. So can I just, like, bet both of those and somehow win? Couldn't I just call them out on their own bullshit that doesn't match up?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know how to do that, though. Yeah, so we start with the Giants. We have the 49ers, Texans, Packers is our next three games. So a tough start to the season. A lot of good quarterbacks and good offenses. Then week five, we're hosting the Jets with Aaron Rodgers in London.
Right.
At Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. And I have decided that I'm going.
You're going. Okay. I was wondering about this.
I will be going.
But you don't quite know what the Arsenal schedule is going to look like yet. You'll find out in June?
June 15th, I believe. Yeah, but I will be going, and I'm going to try to go to Arsenal and the Vikings same weekend. That's my goal. And so if you're going to go as well, let me know, and we can meet up.
Really fun.
It's going to be great.
I'm out. I'm booked for the year.
I've already decided I'm going. I'm going to figure it out.
I'm spending that budget on finals tickets for the Wolves.
There you go.
I can't make it. But good luck. Have fun.
And then after that, the schedule lightens up, I'd say, a bit. Lions, Rams, Colts, Jags, Titans, Bears, Cardinals, Falcons, Bears again, the Seahawks, the Packers, and then we end with the Lions. So
okay.
I think that this is it's screaming 7-10, maybe 8-9.
How do you think we do in our own division this year?
Like, I think we
do. We split with the Packers, beat the Bears twice.
I don't think we beat the Bears twice.
Okay, so we split.
I think we're split. I think we're probably third or fourth. I mean, yeah. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm happy with the Vikings.
Oh, we're happy they made this move, but it's going to take time.
Think that it's good. This is going to be the last year where they're going to try to have this competitive rebuild that they always say, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think they're going to be decent, but I think that the division is probably the best in football.
Yeah.
I think the Lions are good. I think the Packers are good. I think the Bears are going to be pretty good, and I think the Vikings are going to be pretty good.
Okay. I like that.
I think it's good. That's a positive take on it. The only thing I would say is we only got two primetime games and one London game. So we play in London against the Jets. We're on Thursday night football against the Rams, and we are on Monday night football against the Bears.
Okay.
At home.
All right. Yeah, that's not that surprising.
The Jets have like 7 or 8 games.
Which is a joke. Because, okay. Like, they always suck.
It's going to be so funny when Aaron Rodgers is just terrible.
I hope so.
That would almost
mean more to me than...
I don't know that there's a less likable athlete in sports than Aaron Rodgers. I just don't. I don't think there is. Maybe Butker right
Logan
now?
Paul?
I like Logan Paul way more.
Yeah. Harrison Butker, yes.
Yeah, Harrison there Butker. Go. There you go. He's
a hero to many, of course. Yeah. But, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I really, really, really don't like him. And every
Butker
time he talks...
Rodgers. Yeah, I hate Rodgers. Rodgers is like dangerously into conspiracy theories. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I could conspiracy theory rabbit hole it on Instagram someday.
For fun?
Yeah, for fun.
You don't get yourself all pissed off and worked up.
This dude is like pretending like the Jews have like a super laser from space. They're going to like... kill people that talk bad about Hollywood. The space laser is gonna kill patriots who are in the streets defending children from being trafficked.
Yeah, right. I think they made a movie about that. Mel Gibson, I think, produced it. I'm sure.
Yeah, I just think he's such an idiot, and it's gonna be fun to watch him just stink for the Jets.
I hope so. I hope so. And I really don't. I mean, I would rather him stay relatively healthy and stink than get hurt.
Me too.
Because that's a cop out.
Yeah, I want him to just be bad.
Yeah,
I want him to hurt his reputation and his legacy.
Ooh.
Okay. Also, the WNBA ticket sales have been better than in previous years.
Yeah, the Lynx ticket sales are up 50%.
Caitlin Clark effect here.
And they're for sure. And their merch is selling at 3 times the rate, so it's way up. And I think that's across the league, pretty much, right?
I mean, I think that the
Caitlin Clark effect.
I think that Caitlin Clark is. I think the media has made Caitlin Clark into like a villain to a lot of people.
Because she gets so much attention?
The attention is bizarre.
Yeah.
It's like she's good, but she's not like LeBron James. Like she's like a good player in women's basketball. She's far from the best player.
Right.
And it just is so weird. If you watch her play, we just had the game on before Game 7 hockey game came on. Mm-hmm. And there's like pretty much like a Caitlin Clark camera between every play.
Yes.
And she's just weird.
It's not because her stats are insane.
No.
It's not because she's the highest scoring person or even made the most 3-pointers that night.
No.
It's just because
she's good. She's good. And she's, but
the defenses need to let her score a little bit. They need to back up a little bit, let her shoot some of those threes.
Here's my thing.
It's good for everybody.
I don't think that this is Caitlin Clark. I think this is a real moment in women's sports. I do.
Mm-hmm.
Like we said a couple weeks ago, we had a big women's sports talk. If you look at soccer and what's happening, it just got announced that the two best women's teams in England are Chelsea, who's like the 4-time champs, and then Arsenal, who's kind of like the second best team.
Yep.
They're going on like an unprecedented summer tour to the United States where they're going to play a bunch of professional women's teams here in the States.
Absolutely destroy them.
And I think that like it's kind of a moment in women's sports a little bit here. You had the Hockey League, which we were trying to come up with what the name was.
It's the Professional Women's Hockey League.
Yeah. They have no team names.
Right. But we're just Minnesota.
We're in the playoffs. I think we lost to Boston in game one. But
okay.
I'm just saying there's a long ways to go. And the first thing is just like getting more girls to play sports. Like, I know a lot of girls play sports, but they're not near the number of guys who play sports.
Right.
And it's just getting that access to different sports, to different trainings, to young girls, and then creating places where they can watch their favorite athletes play.
Right.
And I think
like
that,
this bar of their own, which is like, you know, busy all the time. They're doing great over there in St. Paul.
So I'm going to give you one last thing before we dive into some deep Timberwolves talk here. Mm-hmm. But my one thing is you, if you're on the internet, you probably have seen videos about how women in sports are complaining about their pay and that they're actually overpaid for the amount of money that they bring into the league. But the problem is that they are not just competing against men's sports, which are really popular. They're also competing with being behind by like 60 years.
Yeah.
And so to imagine that just them playing, you know, I'm not saying every woman has played a different amount of time than the men, but they have just collectively been playing a shorter time. These leagues have not existed until much more recently.
Right.
They're way behind in their exposure, the brand of the league and of the team, and the infrastructure worldwide for these sports to blow up to the level that the men are at. So it's unfair to act
the
like
NBA
they are already there.
Has, you know, 75 years of history, and these teams have existed and built these fan bases, generational fan bases, right? Where you're a sports fan because your dad was.
Yes.
Right? So, like, we need some time for that to happen for women, too.
Yes.
And I totally agree. I heard that take, and, you know, it's funny. Like, when a new league starts up, let's compare their pay to the men's Frisbee. Ultimate Frisbee.
Yeah.
How, is it comparable?
That should be more comparable.
Right? They're both newer
leagues. I'm not trying to rip on any women's sports
here. We're
not. Say
no.
That they should be, I'm saying that...
We're doing things and we should do more to speed that up.
Yeah. And I think that these like, especially these, you know, leagues that they're connected with the men's teams, like in the WNBA, they're owned by the NBA. And the owners of the NBA can't just say, well, we're losing money, so we're not going to put more money into this. They have to say, hey, we've got to give this a real chance. And I think that they're finally kind of doing that right now. And so it feels like we're having like a women's sports renaissance. And I think that that feels like some real positive change.
It's positive and it's good for you and me. We just want more sports options to watch. So if everybody starts getting into the WNBA and it's really fun, good. Now we can have, you know, just more basketball.
Okay. If anyone on the, any of our listeners have been to, what is it, a bar of their own?
Yeah.
I want to know if I'm invited.
You are. You don't have to. Nobody has to tell us that. You're invited.
Like, can I go?
Yeah, you can go. You're not going to sit there and like make fun of everybody.
No, I would be polite and fun.
Yeah, eat some food.
I'd have some decent takes.
You go there during like a women's sporting event and it's even more fun. The one thing I wonder is like, if there's no women's sports on at this time, but there's like the Timberwolves...
Blackout.
No.
TV's off.
They're playing.
They're watching through like old games.
They're watching a league of their own. Yeah. Like literally. Yeah. And maybe. Clark highlights.
So here we go. We're going to talk Timberwolves.
Oh my God.
This series to me was the most bizarre series I've ever seen.
Strange. But to go to win two, lose three, win two. It's just weird.
But
hasn't
mostly games that weren't very competitive.
Right.
And so to me, when I watched this series, the analogy that really comes to mind for me is it was like a heavyweight fight. Mm-hmm. It was like guys with knockout power, you know, swinging for the fences with a bunch of knockdowns. And it was like the two biggest powerful punchers duking it out. That's how it felt.
I like that. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
And that's why these games, they weren't, you know, it was like rounds of a boxing match that the rounds weren't close, but they were back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And this was just a slugfest between maybe the two best teams in the league, but definitely two of the three best teams in the league.
I agree. Yeah, I mean, I think maybe that becomes apparent as the rest of this playoffs goes. But yeah, they looked really good. They look like, when they were winning, they look like the best team in the world. Both teams, right?
Yes.
When they're losing, it's like, I can't believe they're even here. They look pathetic. So just an absolute roller coaster for us.
So
in the end, I do think the better team won.
I do too.
I think if they played another four games, I think we win three of four of those. And you know,
I think if we played another seven games, we'd win in seven.
Yeah, you think it would just be that?
I think this was a war.
Yeah.
Here's my thing, though. I was thinking about this all day. And we have been emotional Timberwolves fans this year on our podcast.
Yeah.
Especially me.
You have. I mean, you have gotten down more.
Yes.
Where I'm just, but we you have, can tell that I'm just, unfortunately, I don't want to be like this, but I'm happy to be here. And I don't want to even admit that because I want and expect more and mm-hmm. I expect greatness and I want that final. But deep down, I'm just happy to be here. I'm so thrilled. You know, if they all decided to go on strike right now, I'd be like, nah, successful season, dude. Look, you know. But you're more like, no, we should expect this. Yeah.
We have had some emotional episodes or angry episodes where we've complained about players and things and stretches of the season where that weren't good enough. Or we've jumped fully on the bandwagon and talked about how they were going to win the title.
Yes.
And so I'm not making this negative. There's nothing but positivity coming out of this show. But I will say that the Minnesota Timberwolves are in the conversation as the worst professional sports franchise in American history. They really are.
Sure.
They've been downright terrible for almost every year of their existence.
Yes.
They have been poorly run. How many drafts have we blown and picked the wrong guy? How many superstar players didn't pan out to be what we were hoping? I mean, we had...
How many careers did we ruin?
Yes.
How many Steph Currys could we have had, but we developed them into Kevin Loves instead? You know?
And I promise you guys that this is going to turn into a very positive take.
This is just historical. But these are facts.
This has been a loser franchise for almost every year of their existence. One of the losingest franchises, I think until last year, they were the most losing franchise in American sports history.
Right.
And it's been not that much fun for Timberwolves fans. Since 1989, when the team started.
The only thing that was fun is that the tickets were just cheap.
Yeah.
That was fun. And that's like the only good thing about losing all the time.
And today, like, I was like reminiscing about the Timberwolves. I was thinking about what we were going to talk about on here. And I was like, how many great moments have the Timberwolves had in franchise history? And I was like, I was trying really hard to think of them.
Mm-hmm.
And like the things I was thinking of are just like normal events for most teams.
Yeah.
I'm like, that guy scored 50 points. I looked it up. 564 D-rolls. Times people have scored 50 points in a game.
Right.
It's not a memorable moment. It might be sort of to your fans, but like...
Hey, if you were there the night that Corey Brewer put up 60 or 55 against the Rockets in a horrible season, that was exciting.
But it's like... But in the history of the NBA, like what would make a NBA textbook? It's like... The 2004 season is probably the only time we made any of those memories.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a fan base who has been beaten down, who has watched more losing than any fan base should ever have to.
Yes.
And it's the most deserving fan base, I think, in sports right now.
Yeah.
Because they have suffered through the worst of the worst in pro sports. And for this team to be breaking the mold of Minnesota sports and making us not just thinking about the worst is yet to come, but thinking that we could be front runners, that we could be contenders, that we should expect the most, and that this is something that we could repeat possibly in future seasons,
mm-hmm.
is a feeling that I feel like it's difficult to even deal with.
Yeah.
And so this moment feels monumental to me. And I am sure that people woke up today and went to bed last night feeling the exact same way. Like, how is this happening to us? This never happens to mm-hmm. us.
You're right. And, you know, you hit the nail on the head with not only is it tortured Minnesota sports fans, it's this fandom specifically, right?
Yes.
This is the most tortured. And here we are.
This is,
you know, it feels different when the Vikings are having a great season, you know, and the Minnesota Miracle happens and you're going on. That it feels crazy and so fun, but it's also like, yeah, the Vikings are always pretty good.
They're
just a serious franchise that doesn't just absolutely embarrass themselves nonstop.
The Vikings, you're absolutely right. The Vikings have been successful. They hurt you because in the big moment, they don't get it done.
Mm-hmm.
In the big moment, something goes wrong.
And
but there aren't even big moments for the Timberwolves. Right. You want to know what the Timberwolves are? They're the last person in the human centipede. That's who they are.
Cuttlefish.
This is a franchise that has just tortured its fans, and it's been
Glenn Taylor.
It's been miserable.
Is he the one that's sewing people up, or is he just the front eater?
Yeah, probably.
He's not in control. There's nobody in control. He's just the first eater.
So to me, this moment felt so huge. I can't say it's the biggest game or win in franchise history, but I want to.
I mean,
and it might be. It might
we'll
end up
see.
Being
exactly.
It might end up being that. And that
because
end,
if you know we have a 5-game win or something, yeah. I think we'll just be looking at this Nugget series like, whoa, that was crazy. And you know, here was what we said. We said at one point we picked the Timberwolves to sweep because they should have.
Then
I guess.
We said they were done.
Then,
they came fighting back again. This series was bonkers.
But we did pick the Wolves to win in six and then win in six. Yeah. And I'm just going to stick with that. I'm good with that.
Yeah, I think the Wolves will win this series in six.
Yeah.
This
I really think that we should expect that.
Uh-huh.
Not overlooking them at all.
No, they have the best player in this series.
Yeah.
So we'll get to them in a few.
I know, I'm jumping ahead.
But in this chat about the Wolves, this was the biggest comeback in NBA history for a halftime deficit in a game seven. Mm-hmm. Two times teams have come back from 11 down at half. We came back from 15 down. A few minutes into the third, we were down 58-38. And it looked like we were done.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like it was over.
58-38 in the third quarter is really scary.
Ant had 2 points.
Yeah, Ant had not shown up at all. You know, Towns was playing well, but we were getting beat in all the small things.
Yeah.
And our defense wasn't really stopping them.
And,
so
and we let Murray go crazy.
It was a really,
in the first half.
You know, if you're a reasonable, logical person, you're starting to try to come to terms with what was the season like and was it worth it?
Yeah.
You know, how happy are we right now that it's, you know, you're taking stock of everything. And then all of a sudden, we start to have to sort of change that mentality to like, wait a minute, we might still have basketball left this year.
I was watching with my family and when it was 20 points, we were really down.
Yeah.
And I looked to my dad, I said, what percent chance can we win this game? And he said, honestly, 1%. And I looked at my brother and he said, yeah, 1%.
You guys are incredibly negative.
And
if you had asked me, I would have said 20%, which was stupid. But
yeah,
of course,
I was going to say 5%.
Okay.
Okay. So in my head, I was like, I think it's like 5%. I looked on the app and it said 3% on ESPN.
I know.
So I was like,
at
man.
At that moment, it dipped to like 3.2% chance historically that this team that's down wins.
Yeah.
Especially and on the road.
Literally something shifts. The defense picks up like crazy.
Yeah.
And suddenly we can do no wrong. And it was like, I don't know of teams in other sports that have runs like this, but we keep having these. In the last three games, we've had runs of 19, 20, and 24.
It's really rare. Like, a large run in the NBA is 12 points.
Oh, yeah.
That's, like, a pretty big deal. And so to go on, like, these 20-0 runs is so strange. But that's what happens when you start hitting some shots and your defense feeds off that and is just as good as ever, right?
Yeah.
And
so I think, like,
this team, it is possible to do that on this team. And maybe we'll continue to see those. It was just weird because every game leading up, 1-6, were pretty much blowouts. The team that was up by 20 in the third went on to win handily. You know, 30 points, 45-point wins. So it looks like, well, why would this be any different?
Yes.
You know, one team doesn't just come back. It's over, right? So that was part of it, too, that made you feel so dejected at that time. But then...
the third quarter ends up being, I thought, a real show by the whole team, but especially that starting group. Towns was just wonderful in the third. I thought he was great. This was the Towns legacy game. Yeah. We messaged before the game. I said, Towns is playing for his job tonight.
He was.
I thought if we lost in this game, they would trade Towns in the summer.
Almost if he played like okay and we lost, I think that we would have to get rid of him.
They would have moved him on, I think, and now he looks like an integral piece to everything we do.
Well, if he really learned how to play defense like this year, essentially, he wasn't doing this last year.
No, ever before.
No, never before.
I think that
it's amazing. Like sometimes you're like only young players can get better.
Mm-hmm.
Towns got so much better, and it's not It's not on his offense, although he still does do some dumb shit.
He really
does.
Which
drives you crazy.
It does.
And maybe that's never going to change.
It's not. But
his basketball IQ last year went up. So I was like, okay, he changed a little bit. He's gotten a little smarter, a little less emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And then this year that went up a little bit, although we did see flashes of that, even in the series,
yeah,
of him, complaining and whining and, all this stuff, right? So there's some improvement there. But mostly, yeah, his defense just, he figured it out. He realized
he's playing with a ton of really good defenders, which I think it just is like contagious.
Yeah.
It's like when everybody else is out there grinding, if you're not, like, how do you watch film?
Yeah, right.
What do you do in film?
Like, oh, you're the guy that got beat again.
You were lazy again. Yeah.
Oh, didn't close out.
And so to me, like when I was watching this, I felt like Towns had stepped up in a huge way. But the other thing is the huge leap taken by Jaden.
Which is weird because
looks like a superstar right now.
I know, but I don't want to count on him to be the guy that saves us in like this next series, for example. Because he looks amazing on offense, he's really efficient, he's playing great defense, his plus minus is like plus 30, like he looks amazing. And then he disappears for a while. So I hope that, and we've said this before, we've said, oh, wow, Jaden, mm-hmm. is finally making the leap. And then we're like, oh, maybe not. Like, this season was a disappointing season for Jaden.
It was.
We were all very worried.
He's like 23, though. And I think like when he is doing the intangibles, he's rebounding, he's moving the ball, he's hitting some corner threes. And then, I think the worst part about Jaden is his handle. Like, he really struggles to like dribble the ball.
Yeah.
But when when he's decisive about going to the hoop and then uses athleticism to finish or get to the line, he looks like a superstar. Yep. And so I just thought that
he just got to make some of those open threes, and he did this game.
He was huge.
3 3-pointers was huge.
And then obviously the calming presence of Mike Conley. So I'm sure if you've been, making the rounds on social media, you saw the report that last year the worst 5-man lineup in the NBA was our current center, Rudy Gobert, our current power forward, Karl-Anthony Towns, our current small forward, Jaden McDaniels, our current shooting guard, Anthony Edwards, and D'Lo.
Yeah.
The worst 5-man lineup in basketball. They were a complete train wreck. They replaced D'Lo with Mike Conley, and it's now turned into one of the best fives in the league. Mike Conley is a wizard. Five. He's a wizard.
He is. And we need to get somebody that can learn from him before it's too late, because I don't know that he signs another couple years after this coming year, but
he has two more years now.
2 more years. Yeah. Okay. I really hope that that all works out.
That'll be his final 2 years.
Let's get him a title. Let's do it for Mike.
Oh, I really want to. He's
such a likable guy. Yeah. He's so smart. He's so calm when everybody else is freaking the fuck out. Never gotten a technical foul. How is that even possible?
That's crazy.
Insane. He's the man. So we need him badly. And yeah, it was addition by subtraction when you move D'Lo out.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. You get better. Some other poor team gets worse. That's what we saw with the Lakers.
So here's the story here. The Wolves come storming back. They tie up the game. They start the fourth quarter with a crazy Rudy finish. Rudy hits the weirdest fadeaway to beat the shot clock
I've never seen him shoot that far, and the ball maybe touched the ceiling before it went in. He did not know what he was doing, but I think that we might have this.
And then,
this is insane.
And then we just put the absolute clamps on them at that point. And then it was like they couldn't get a clean shot to save their life. At one point, Jokic had 17 straight points for them.
Just having to do everything.
And then it's just like, as you could see him fading and getting tired, you won't hear one word of slander about Jokic from me. Not a single word.
No.
What a champion that guy is. But he played 47 of 48 minutes. He's the biggest man in the whole league.
Yeah.
This dude.
It's like Shaq. Like, Shaq couldn't do that. Shaq played 32 minutes.
This was crazy by him. He kept them in it, but eventually, I heard Chris Finch say after the game, their tongues were on the ground. Like, we just wore them out. Yep. And at the end of the game, they weren't following our shots. We were getting all those putback dunks because they were out of gas.
Yeah.
They were out of gas.
Yep. And I had said that after, I think, game two. I was like, dude, we look way more conditioned than them, and I know that's true, but it's also because we're deeper, right?
Yeah, we were able to play more guys even more than they were. I mean, we went shallow in this game.
We kind of did, and we played more guys than they did. Because it worked out. But, yeah, I mean, like, Porter didn't show up. No. Gordon couldn't do anything.
No, Gordon was terrible.
You know, with those couple guys not doing much. And Murray, Ant did a great job on Murray, dude.
In the second half.
Yes.
In the second half. He was awesome in the first half. Ant locked him up in the second half. And then the big stretch of the game was... Naz Reid came in for a 5-foul Karl Anthony Towns with 5 minutes to go.
It's kind of scary.
And Naz hadn't done anything all game long. And then he went on a 2-minute heater that busted the whole game open.
Right.
He blocked Jokic twice. He hit 2 free throws. He had
a putback
dunk. Yeah. He hit another shot, and then he had an assist to Ant off the Connolly steal. And I think that was the most electric play of the whole season, more than the big posterizing dunk that Ant had.
Yeah.
That play, like, we about blew the roof off my house.
Yeah.
The whole place did. You could hear it in the arena.
Yes.
Like the Wolves fans that were there. That moment, the corner three from Ant to go up 10 was...
It felt like...
That was it.
Okay, can we breathe? Yeah. Can we breathe here? Yeah.
And we just busted. It was a 5-point game, put back dunk, Connolly steal, corner three, timeout, game over.
Yeah. And that was Ant, right?
Ant so talking Ant all that
hit
shit.
Ant hit it, yeah. Talking to Jokic.
No, like, talking to the old guy in the crowd.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know what he said, right? He calls some old white man the N-word. I mean, it's just too fucking funny, dude. He is so funny.
He's hilarious. But yeah, so that, you know, they finish him off. They had so little energy that at the end of the game, they just called it with about 30 seconds to go, which was weird.
It was weird to see them not fouling.
Yeah,
you know, like
it was
foul.
It was bizarre.
But I think that they were maybe so gassed. I don't know that they felt like they could do anything else.
I think
else.
They knew they were just done. They were out of it. They were completely done. Huge win, this one.
Oh, my God.
And I kind of want to just go over the guys in our rotation right now heading into this next series.
Okay, let's do it. Let's go.
Ant, we were really hard on him in the first half, and I think he deserved it.
Mm-hmm.
The offense was not clicking because Ant was moving the ball too slowly. He was waiting for the double team. He wasn't moving it. He looked like he was a deer in the headlights.
He was, and you know, he was doing the thing where he's not really doing anything productive for, you know, most of the shot clock, 14 seconds of the shot clock.
Yep.
And then it's kind of ticking down, and now it's going to scramble, and you know, bad shot, whether it's from him or because he threw a hot potato to somebody.
Yeah, and then the second half was a totally different story. He still couldn't shoot the ball well. He was 6 of 24.
Yeah.
But
he, at the press conference, looked at the stat sheet in front of him and was like, man, I stink. 6 of 24, oh my God.
He had 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 14 points, 2 steals, and a block in the second half.
Yeah.
He D'd the hell out of Murray, and he moved the ball. He attacked. He made all the right plays. He only had 1 turnover for the game. He showed that even when he doesn't have his shot, he doesn't have his rhythm, he can still completely impact the game as one of the stars on the court at all times, which I thought was amazing.
Yes.
And he's going to be so critical. It's going to be Luke and Ant, you know,
all
going
players
head-to-head.
Will have whole games where their shot isn't working. Yep. And he had a half. Like, I think we can forgive that.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, part of that consistency comes with maturity, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, figuring how to be efficient with all his movements is going to be big. So he's only getting better.
Towns
earned
his
spot,
baby.
Towns
is so frustrating sometimes, but boy, this was such a game for him. If you watch that third quarter over again, so last night I stayed up late rewatching the second half because I was so excited.
I love it.
In the big comeback stretch, Towns is immense.
He's kind of just perfect. Yeah.
He's so good. He keeps going to the hoop and you know, finishing strong. He's playing great defense, making life miserable for a tiring Joker.
Yep.
Getting
Staying
a ton of rebounds.
In front of him.
He was just a beast out there. And
I don't know how many times I saw, you know, it looks like, oh, it's Jokic or Jokic one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with anybody else, he's driving in. He was passing out of it. He didn't want the smoke. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Carl smoke. Who knew?
And here's the thing. We're really hard on Towns. He's a bizarre person. Like, I think, like, his personality is weird, and he makes a bunch of weird choices on the court.
I think I'm a better analyst of these dudes' personalities than I am. And here it is.
Yeah.
So I think that he is much more of, like, a young Gen Z, less masculine type of guy.
Yeah.
And I think that he's felt like that is not acceptable, and so he's put on a fake personality this entire time of, like, I have to be the leader. Mm-hmm. I'm the toughest dude in the clubhouse because I'm the highest paid. And I have to act, you know, I talk like, this is going to be a movie, you know. And then now in his press conferences, he's like, it was crazy out there. And you're nuts. Like, that's what he likes to, that's his personality. And I think the more he just leans into being himself, the better he's going to play, literally.
I think that he, Ant coming in and just being the leader of the team is the most perfect thing that could have happened to him.
Yep.
And him having the ability to step back and be the Robin is something he needs to be applauded for. And I heard someone say this, you know, Cat takes so much heat from other NBA players, from analysts, from even Timberwolves fans, from even me and our podcast. We've been tough on Towns.
I try to be nice, but yeah.
And here's the thing. Someone said it right. They said Towns is a good guy. He is respected by his teammates. He never complains about being on the Timberwolves. He's never asked to be traded. He's done everything to just do what the club needed. He stepped back out of being kind of the star of the team.
Mm-hmm.
He, like, there's nothing you can be upset with this guy about other than his stupid fouls. I just think that my opinion has to be changed from now on. I'm pro Karl Anthony Towns.
You, buddy, I know you're saying that.
Yeah.
But there's been so many times where you've been like, that's it. I am done with Karl Towns. No, you have.
Yeah,
and I
have.
Think that you will go back.
Mm-mm.
You will go back.
Mm-mm. He's earned it.
Maybe
he's
in this postseason that you will. But
no, he's earned it now. He won us arguably what could end up being our biggest win in franchise history.
Yeah.
It was him, mostly. He was the star, him and Jaden.
The most important guy, yeah.
Jaden. Stud. I mean, what a stud. In reality, if you wanted to just look at when the Timberwolves are good, is when Jaden's good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Ant would tell you, too.
Yeah.
That's what Ant would say. Ant would say, when Jaden plays well, we win. He said, I don't have the numbers, I don't have the stats, but when he's good, we're good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so true. When he is on his game, when he's playing that defense, when he's hitting corner threes, when he's decisive on offense, when he's getting to the free throw line, did you know this? He only took more than 5 free throws 3 times the whole season, including the playoffs. And 2 of them were in this series.
He's just, you know, he's not a super aggressive player. Like, if you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
On offense. On defense, he is. He's very aggressive.
Yeah. But,
so, you know, he should be. He's a good scorer. He's,
yes.
Like, he's long. He's talented at finishing at the hoop. He can shoot threes. I think he'll get better, but he's pretty good.
Uh-huh.
Like, open, he's good.
He looks like a star right now.
That's what
a
I'm
star.
Hoping. That's what I'm hoping. But we've seen these flashes, mm-hmm. and then we see him just absolutely disappear. It's
just
not like he's out there, shooting 0 for 12. He just he'll shoot 0 for 3 and be like, he's kind of gone now.
Yeah, we can't have that.
No.
If we're going to win the title, Jaden is going to have to be the guy to go take on Doncic, to go take on Tatum, to go.
He needs to be at least, yes, the guy on defense 100% all the time.
Yep. And
he does need to have the games where he steps up and scores, because Ant will have times like this. And Conley will miss some of the three-pointers that he's making. And Nas will no-show.
Yeah.
And that's okay. That's actually normal basketball. And when you have a deep enough team, you survive those by maybe it's Nah. You know, I know that he's kind of in the doghouse right now with the coaching staff, and his minutes are getting cut. But he might be very key in one of these upcoming games. You know, you just need it. You need it to be somebody. And Jaden needs to be one of those people that helps us, you know, 3 out of the 4 wins that we have in this next series.
Rudy, no one takes more heat in the NBA than Rudy.
Everybody hates him so much.
Everyone hates him.
I used to hate him, and I didn't really know why, besides the COVID thing, but, like, he didn't give everybody COVID.
No.
We all just got COVID.
Rudy is, like,
you can't give him that much credit.
The thing is that everyone has been all over him. The national media, Draymond Green. I don't want to hear from Draymond Green anymore. I'm good on him.
Yeah, he was saying that we were sunk. You know,
everybody all over Rudy. Rudy has the best plus minus in the NBA for the whole playoffs. He's plus 111.
That's unbelievable.
When he's on the court, he's the best. His team does better than anyone else in the league.
That's it's kind of all that matters.
And
I don't know. I mean, I guess
everyone's
plus minus,
all over him.
Yeah.
About getting scored on by Jokic. Please point me to the person who Jokic hasn't scored on.
Yeah.
In the NBA.
I mean,
there isn't one.
It's just like, let's go with the casuals, the filthy casuals, right? When they want to take, they're like, oh, yeah, defensive player of the year, my ass. Look at Jokic put up 40 on him.
He puts up 40 on anybody he wants to.
He's unbelievable.
He's literally an all-time great. That's what he is. He's an all-time great big man. He's going to go down as one of the great centers to ever play.
Jokic didn't just win Offensive Player of the Year. He won the MVP. He won the Best Player of the Year.
It's okay
for that to trump the Best Defensive Player of the Year. That's fine.
In the last 4 years, he could have won the MVP all 4 years, but he won it three of them. And the year he didn't win it, he won the finals and was the finals MVP.
Well, there's the MVP curse. You know that, right?
No.
Oh, yeah. The team with the MVP hasn't won in like 20 fucking years.
Really?
Since Steph Curry got MVP and won in one of those. So, yeah, of course. The year he didn't get it, that's the year he won. And Embiid's never going to win either.
He hasn't even got to the conference finals before. All right. Then we have Mike Connolly.
Yes.
Boy, oh boy. Mike. Minnesota Mike. I really wanted this game for him.
I find when I'm watching games, I scream, Minnesota Mike, whenever he does something even remotely positive.
I like Mike.
Nice dribble. I'm yelling.
I think that what we've really figured out is that Ant is a great leader and a very mature player.
Especially for his age.
For being 22. But he desperately needed Mike. He needed an old veteran to come in and help him because that's obviously what he was missing.
Yeah.
And you can just
Mike always makes the right basketball move. And really, so does Rudy. And Ant doesn't do that yet. And that's okay. That'll come.
He's getting there.
But we need that. We need those people.
Mike, he's just such a calming presence. And he has like a flair for the dramatic. Like, in big moments of the game, when the ball swings to Mike and he takes a three, I feel confident.
I know.
I always say, we need this one. And then it almost always goes in. I'm like,
and
wow.
And then I scream Minnesota Mike, dude. Yeah.
I love it. I really want one for him. I think that this is a serious chance, obviously, for him to go get his first title. He's been to the conference finals one other time and they got swept.
Okay.
So he's never even won a conference finals game. So
I think that we can change
one
that
win. One win
least.
Would be the furthest he's ever been in his long great career.
And you know, we got to at least go to game seven. So the Timberwolves can have the best season of all time of their season.
Okay. So last one that I think we really need to talk about is Naz Reid.
Sure.
Okay. So I'm
energy guy.
I've got a great take on Naz Reid.
Yeah. Okay? You do.
So Naz Reid. I think he's been really frustrating in the playoffs. And I think that part of the problem is that because he's the sixth man of the year, I automatically say, well, that means he could start on most teams. Mm-hmm. Or we could get rid of Towns and we could start Naz Reid. But you know what? Less is more with Naz Reid. That is what I've realized. Less is more. He doesn't need more minutes because he is a heat check player.
Yeah.
And you think of heat check players as these little, you know, scrappy 3-point shooters, but he's a big scrappy 3-point shooter who can score off the dribble, who gets better on defense when he's playing against tired people because he's a big strong guy
like that.
When he's in the game early in the game, Jokic abuses him so badly that they can't keep him in the game.
It's almost embarrassing and he wants to be subbed out.
He like can't be in the game.
Yeah.
But in the fourth quarter, when Jokic is tired and he's only played 14 minutes, he starts looking like a stud on defense.
Fucking live wire.
This guy, like, he can just take over a game for like 3 or 4 minutes. He's a heat check big, like I've really never seen in the NBA before. Mm-hmm. I don't want him to start. He's not a starter.
Yeah.
His strength is in his ability to blow up and steal minutes of the game.
I like that.
And so I don't want more minutes for him. I think he's playing the right amount. He needs to play around 20 minutes a game of high-energy basketball, hit a couple threes, score off the dribble a couple times, pick up a couple physical fouls, you know, get to the line a couple times, block a shot or two, and run the court, be a big rim runner at the same time, and just be a big energy guy.
And then Cat is rested up,
ready to come back in. When I think about this.
It is nice for him to be that guy, especially on our team, because he plays Cat minutes, and Cat gets in foul trouble. So, like, these things really are working out.
He can spell Rudy and Cat for the whole game, and he gets a good amount of minutes in, but I don't need him playing more than he is. I think that's why I felt frustrated with him. Because I'm like, he's the sixth man of the year and he only has 4 points. And then every game, I feel like he stunk because he did. He stunk in the first. He stunk in the second. He stunk in the third. And then in the fourth quarter, it just feels like every fourth quarter he scores 9 points.
Yeah.
And they're like 9 critical points. And so I just think that I need to change what my expectations of Naz are. And that is, Nas, we need some energy here. We need a couple baskets, mm-hmm. and you have to be that guy.
Yeah.
And he has given us that so many times this year that you just kind of have to erase his erratic play in the first half because it just doesn't really matter.
You're right. As long as he's not hurting us, and they'll pull him if he's starting to stink it up too bad, right?
Yeah.
And you know, save him for later.
Yeah.
You know, and he did start quite a bit of the season because Kat was out so much, and he was okay. But yeah, he's better at coming in and being hot and being the spark that we need. That's perfect.
So
I love that take.
The only other guys who are going to play really are Alexander Walker, who has been pretty. He's really hot and cold.
Yeah.
He either has four threes or he's 0 for 6.
And I think he's only 23. Mm-hmm. So he's young and maybe he's not mature at all.
They
right?
just like, need him to hit 2 threes a game and shoot a little bit less.
Yeah.
Shot a little too much.
He shoots 5 and he makes 1 and that hurts you.
It hurts you.
You know, if shoots 3, makes 1, we're okay.
Kyle Anderson is going to be your eighth man. He played 4 minutes in his last game. He just needs to eat a couple minutes every game if he can in the playoffs.
Give our big guys a rest.
Yep, that's it. If someone gets in foul trouble, he needs to come in. He can play point forward.
I just, when I see him, I don't know why people, and this isn't even his fault. A lot of times when he shoots, it's because somebody hot potatoed him.
Yes.
And I'm like, don't give it to him.
And then no one defends him.
Pass it. Yeah, I know. And why would they? He can't shoot. So like, you know, whatever. Kyle, if we go and do something here, you're going to get a ring and you'll deserve it like everybody else.
Yeah.
But
he's important, though.
Know, yeah, he
need to be 8 deep. And this team we're going to play in Dallas is pretty deep.
Okay.
They're less talented up front with their stars outside of Luka.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even going to say Kyrie is as good. He's good, but he's not close to the level of Luka. After that, there's a big drop-off. It's mm-hmm. a lot of like athletic, long depth players. And they have quite a few guys. They're going to play more guys than us, but I think they have a little less star power than we do.
Okay.
This series...
So maybe we can't really rely on just wearing them the fuck out?
No, that I don't think
that,
we can.
That was last game.
I think it's going to have to be
series.
Being bigger than them, winning inside, winning in the paint, winning the rebound battle, kind of like that first series.
Yeah.
And then understanding that Luka is going to get his... He just is. He's going to score 30-plus points.
If we get to the finals, we'll have gone through KD.
Yeah.
And...
KD, Booker, Beal, Murray, Jokic.
Right. Jokic.
Irving, and Doncic to get there. That's some studs.
Yeah. And, you know, Doncic and Jokic, it's like...
Doncic is he's literally one of a kind. Kind of like Jokic is.
Mm-hmm. They do. Their game is different, but they are.
But they're just one of a kind in their size and their skill for their size.
Yeah.
So Luka is like a point guard, but he's like 6'7", 240. And we don't really have that kind of defender. We don't have that guy. I know we have great defenders and our team defense is going to give him a hard time, but we don't have anyone who matches up with that size at all. He's way too big for... Jaden will do his best out there, but he's way too big for him. He's too big for Ant. He's probably too skilled off the dribble for any of our big guys.
Or for Gobert, yeah.
And so it's just like, he's going to get his. He's going to score 30-plus points every game, because he always does, because he just is that guy. And it's going to be about not letting Kyrie hurt us, not letting PJ Washington hurt us, not letting, you know, any of the guys, Gulford and Washington came in a trade midseason. We can't lose the battle to some of these like athletic bigs that they have.
Mm-hmm.
We need to bully them with the bigger, stronger, more physical guys that we have.
So, you know, obviously we're happy to have home court advantage.
Lovely.
I mean, that's a big deal. But when you look at a lot of these series that have happening, the road teams are winning as often as the home teams. I don't know the exact breakdown.
I think health is a big piece of it.
Yeah. Just like, being able to be home to where you have all your best treatment and stuff.
I just think like it's just going to... Home is nice, but like it just comes down to who's...
I see what you mean.
Who's healthier at the end is going to kind of be what it is.
That's part of it. And so far we've been very lucky. We've had some scares here and there. Carl and Ant have both scared us
I think Ant might have been banged up a little this last game. That might be why he didn't look quite...
I think his fucking
like
tailbone hurts. Yeah. Really bad, dude. We saw that. So there's that. But yeah, I mean, we will have home court, but they sure disposed of our season rivals. You know, the entire season, nobody could really tell you who was the best team.
We were 2-2 against the Thunder, right?
And we were 2-2 against the Nuggets, right?
I thought we were 3-1 against the Nuggets.
Yeah, maybe.
We were 3-1 against the Nuggets, okay. 2-2 against the...
All right. That sounds I think it was. Yep, because we beat them. Yes.
No. We were 2-2 against both of them, and then the Thunder were 3-1 against the Nuggets, and that was the tiebreaker.
That was it. That's right. We did our part. So yeah, I mean, you know, and then the Mavs come in and look like the much better team. I mean, they won in six. Talk about, I mean, I think that the Thunder had a 16-point lead at the half.
Yeah.
And the Mavs still won.
They did.
It wasn't as historic because it wasn't a game seven, but that's insane. I don't know. I mean, I just want to overlook them. I don't want to be scared of them, but like there's...
The Mavs are worse than the
Nuggets.
The Nuggets.
Yes.
That's the one thing.
We had a lot better record than the Mavs.
Yeah.
You know, there was that steep drop off after like the third team, right? We were the third
Mavs
team, unfortunately.
The Mavs are just worse than the Nuggets. We played the best. That doesn't mean we are automatically going to win. I think Wolves in six.
I want to stick with that. That's
like
what
Wolves
we had
in six.
Said.
I feel like they're the better team, and it will show over a series. Luka is still banged up. He's not 100%. He's got the bad knee.
Yeah,
and they just had to make him work.
I mean, I want to push him. I don't want him to sit a bunch of games.
No,
I want to beat them.
I want him to sit just like half the games.
Yeah, half the time of each game.
Yeah,
he only plays.
Yeah.
He's in like a minutes restrictions. 20
yeah,
minutes.
That
a game.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, no, that would be okay. I wouldn't mind that. But yeah, so are you going to try to go to any games this series?
I think so. I think I'm going to try to. It's just I tried to get tickets, couldn't get them.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to just go. I'm going to try to buy them late.
Okay. I don't know. I think my ticket budget is spent for this series, and then I can save up for some finals seats if I need to. But I hope you go. I hope you enjoy it.
They
we
did
got
announce
Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, Tuesday. Like it's all happening fast now.
They did announce the jerseys.
Okay.
For the first four games. So we've worn white
every
in 7 or 11 games.
That's how many we've played so far?
Yeah, 11 games we've worn one of the two white jerseys. We're wearing the throwbacks game one.
Okay.
The throwback whites game two.
Home.
Yep. Then we're wearing the boring whites game three.
The old navy whites.
And then the boring whites game four.
Okay.
15 straight games of white jerseys. What's going on?
I don't think they change it now.
I heard the NBA
those two.
Said that we got to stop wearing the throwbacks. And we petitioned, and then they allowed us to wear them for game one and two.
What?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Because they're not our main jerseys.
Yeah, because our main jerseys stink.
Yeah.
All right, I've got it. I've been thinking about this. We have five jerseys, right?
Yeah.
So next year, rebrand. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Main home jersey, the white one, white throwbacks,
okay.
Right?
Yeah, sure.
Then our blue jerseys are a blue throwback, okay?
I love the blue throwback.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
great.
Those are so cool.
Then our next jersey, it would be our, like the black one.
Yep.
Would be a green throwback.
Okay.
With the blue numbers.
Kelly green.
Yep. Kelly green.
So strong.
Blue throwback.
So strong.
With the blue numbers. Then
the city,
our city can be whatever silly goose shit that they want to do.
it'll be Stone Arch Bridge themed.
Yeah. I don't
like,
care.
Oh,
it'll
God.
Be some stupid thing. We wore it like two times. And then finally, the last one, I don't know what that one's called.
That's supposed to be the retro one.
Is the black with the trees.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is so strong.
Mm-hmm. And obviously they're all modern versions of these. They're not just copies of the old ones, but that's pretty much what I'm doing. I'm making green, blue, white, black, and then some random one they switch every year. This one is based on the Bob Dylan mural. Oh, this one is based on Paul Bunyan. This one is based on the Mayo Clinic.
They did lakes this year.
Yeah,
just
lakes.
Yep, we know. Yeah. We know there's a lot of lakes. Yeah,
yeah, this one's based on the Mayo Clinic. this one is based on St. Cloud.
Are you ready for the hot dish one?
Hot dish
one's coming next year.
But yeah, that's what I would do. I think they need it. We have five jerseys. We've worn two of them, and we wore white every game.
But now I don't want to switch.
I want to just wear the throwbacks every game.
Well, I know. That's what I want, too.
I think we're undefeated.
But I don't really give a fuck. I just want to not change. I want to wear the either one, either
the
whites.
I think we've worn them four times and we're 4-0.
Okay. Well, that's, yeah.
Kind of got to keep them.
At least we're doing at least two more of those.
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fun. Here we are.
Yeah.
Who would have thought? It's the Paul Rudd meme.
Oh.
That's what we're at.
Yeah. That's where we are. Yeah. It feels really good. It feels really good.
I know. I love this team.
Everyone, we got to enjoy this. We don't get these moments enough. We've waited 20 years for this. 20 years. So
the day that I am not emotionally stirred by making the Western Conference playoffs, I just should give up on sports.
It will never happen.
I don't want that to happen
either. It will never happen.
Here's
the last thing I'll say. Everybody needs to stop pretending that we are at the beginning of some big long window.
Fair.
Everyone was like, oh man, here come the 76ers. They're going to be really, they've never made it to a conference finals.
Yeah.
Oh man, here's the Bucks. They won one title. Are they going to win 10 titles? No, they won one and they look like they're going backwards now. Oh, the Nuggets, they're going to repeat, aren't they? Nope, they didn't even make it to the conference finals.
Yeah.
The Celtics, oh my gosh, what a juggernaut. Tatum's never won a title.
Yeah.
The window is not what you think it is. It's not like every year you're going to make it to the finals. This might be our one chance.
You're absolutely right.
It might
be.
In
the past 6 years, there has been a different team that has won the finals each time.
Yeah.
And it will be a new team this time. As well, in that 6 years. The four available teams. So
you can't just expect that this is going to happen every year just because you have Ant now.
Just because you have Ant and you know we're good this year and the team doesn't have to change its roster. Therefore, we will, you know, we'll repeat at least.
People will figure us out.
We'll be better. So then we'll make it even farther.
Yeah. Rudy and Connolly guess will be what? Worse. What These if Cat teams, gets hurt again?
Look at the Thunder. Thank God they're not in it right now. You know, they could just get really good. They could trade away a couple picks and get KD, you know, and now we're like, fuck.
I know. So to me, it's just like, you've got to take these chances when they're there.
Yeah.
Window is a way for fans to protect themselves emotionally. Ooh. They say, our window's open, so if we don't get it done this year, next year, or the year after. I'm like, I have lived 35 years and It hasn't happened since I was 3, and I don't remember.
And how many times were we in the window in that?
Yeah, I'd be like, here's the window.
Plenty of those years were in the window.
Yeah, the window always opens up and it closes before it actually opened up. It was right. Never actually open.
It's like the Chick-fil-A window on a Sunday. It doesn't open.
All right. So last but not least, in a more somber tone here, I have to say that Man City won the Premier League.
Premier League's dead. It's boring. It's predictable.
I think it was 6 out of 7 years now they've won it.
And the only time, yeah, 4 in a row. And the only time they didn't win was Liverpool. And that was like the bubble year. That was the shortened season. So asterisk if you want it. But
they win every year. They're literally invincible at the end of the season.
And it's always close. Uh-huh. You know, not always, actually. But it has been.
Yeah, so they were duking it out with Arsenal for the whole year, and Arsenal dropped 4 points in 2024.
Insane.
And City dropped 5 points in 2024. And they both just went neck and neck the whole way, and City ended up, taking care of business. For a moment, I had hope.
Yeah, there's lots of times you had hope.
No, but even on this weekend, I had hope.
This last Sunday, Champions Sunday,
thing.
So much fun.
It would have been more fun, except I was like, here we go. Like, I was watching the Arsenal game. I woke up an hour and a half before the game just to, like, mentally prepare.
Okay.
I was, like, so excited.
Wasn't the game on at 10?
Yeah, I woke up at 8:30.
Some people just get up at 8:30.
Yeah, I don't.
Okay.
I got up at 8:30 on a weekend. I was so excited, you know.
I got you.
And through the TV, I could feel like the stadium. Like I could just feel it was rocking. And I was like, I think they're going to do it. I was like, I think that we're going to get a miracle today. And I was right. It was the Timberwolves.
Yeah.
But you know, so the place is going nuts. I can just like feel the intensity
if the Wolves hadn't won
through the TV, and then 90 seconds into the City game, they scored.
Yeah,
and
then they scored.
and then you could just like the crowd died because they were all looking at their phones,
sure.
And it's just like they went from a 11 out of 10 to a 3 out of 10.
Yeah, and the players felt that too. I mean, you guys took care of business. You won again.
Yep.
You know, you did everything you could do. You have to be proud that your team wins the title
the third most points ever by a team to not win the title. I think Liverpool was first.
Yeah, Liverpool.
A couple years ago, they had 99.
Yeah. Oh, no, I think we broke 100 that year, but we still didn't win. They got like 102 or something.
Yeah.
And City's crazy.
They're crazy. And they have 115 charges pending against them for cheating.
They're not going to do anything on that.
I don't know. The president of their team left this year.
Okay.
When Pep leaves, you'll know it's going to hit.
Yeah,
I know. So that's the thing. Pep will not stay for trouble. he'll leave right before all the trouble hits. Like, you'll know.
It'll be the rats jumping off the ship.
If he signs a big long new contract, you'll know nothing will ever happen to them. But if he's like, this is my last season, you'll be like, next summer they're dead.
Well, even if he said that, no matter what, I'm excited. Because I'm like, God, Pep is the best in the biz, dude. I cannot believe that he can somehow get all these millionaires to play so fucking hard year after year. It's like, what is there a huge difference between your sixth and your seventh fucking title?
No.
How about your zeroth and your first? That's a big deal. Like, I can't believe these guys play so fucking hard and they're so focused.
I was really proud of Arsenal this year.
You should be.
They are still one of the younger teams in the league. They're going to be good for the next 5 years, at least. They're going to be really good.
Are you talking almost a window of time?
I think they're set up to be good. I don't know if they'll win.
The windows are actually a real thing in the Premier League, though.
No. I'm
not even being facetious. They are.
I'm not saying that they're going to win the title, but I think that they are probably set up to be one of the better teams. But who knows?
Destined to get second for the next 4 years, dude.
I know. That's
good
how
job.
It feels.
I'm destined to get third.
I'm
hoping to stay in the top four. I'm honestly, as a quick Liverpool aside, we're losing Jurgen Klopp. We got some new dude I've never seen before. He's got a really big bald head and a small facial features in the middle of those. So that's all I know about the guy. I don't know that they have this super bright future. They're not really opening a window. They're entering like a rebuild window.
Yeah.
So I'm happy that we got third. I think that we fought hard. We are not as good as Arsenal, and we're definitely not as good as City. So to me, third place made sense. I get it. And we're back in the Champions League, which we weren't this season. So
which is
for
huge.
Me, that's a win.
The Champions League is keeping you near the top.
Yes.
By making Champions League, you kind of assure yourself money.
Yeah, you get the money, and players want to join a team that's in the Premier League or in the Champions League, so that helps get players. Coaches want to go there to a team, so it's all a very good thing. The best team won, unfortunately, dude.
Sadly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we got the Wolves this week.
We got the Wolves, dude. I'm excited. I think that we win game one and two.
Lose game three.
Yep.
Win game four. Lose game five at home. Win game six on the road.
Okay.
See ya.
All right.
That's my plan.
It's in six, so that's how it's got to be.
All right, guys, that's it. That's all the time we have on this episode. Hopefully you guys are having as much fun as we are right now. And let us know your thoughts on the Wolves and anything else you guys want us to chat about on here. Otherwise, we'll be back later this week with our screencast. Until then, thank you guys for hanging out with your best friends here at the Nordies Podcast.